ABC Radio Australia.
The Fiji Independent Commission Against Corruption, who is again under intense scrutiny after it arrested a prominent online writer who'd published allegations made by an internal whistleblower. FICAC officers arrested former journalist Charlie Charters at Nundi Airport on Saturday, and he remains in detention at the Commission's office in Suva. In recent weeks, Charters had posted documents and commentary online raising questions about improper connections between people at FICAC and the Fiji Sports Council. A statement released by his lawyer said he's being investigated over alleged involvement with a whistleblower. So serious is the situation that the body that appoints the FICAC Commissioner, the Judicial Services Commission, held an emergency meeting and is due to make recommendations to the President later today. For more on this story, we cross to Fiji and our reporter there, Lide Mavono. That Yandere, Lide, thank you for joining us.
Yandravinaka, good to be with you again, Agnes.
Thank you so much. Look, Lide, what exactly happened at Nundi Airport on Saturday?
Charlie Charters was stopped at Nundi Airport on Saturday, the 21st of February, Agnes, while he was on his way to board a Fiji Airways flight to Sydney. He had work meetings in Sydney over the weekend and was on his way to attend those. But immigration officers acted on an alert, a red note is what they called it, that was linked to his file and put there by the Fiji Independent Commission Against Corruption, FICAC. He was then placed in police custody, and then FICAC took him away, transported him back to Suva later that evening. And he has remained in the custody of FICAC investigators here in the city. There's been no publicly confirmed formal charges. And in fact, as of last night, the FICAC investigators were still not done with their caution interview with him. But Agnes, later this afternoon, the 48-hour limit on how long you can hold a suspect before you charge and produce them in court is coming up.
Well, Lide, do we know what FICAC is actually alleging against Charlie Charters?
Yes, we do. Well, at least we only know what the lawyers acting for Charlie Charters have been able to tell us. The evening that he was brought in, the head of the Fiji Law Society, Wiley Clark, as well as Charlie Charters' lawyer, Mr. Sefron Fatiaki, did go and meet with investigators to do a welfare check. We had been calling on government ministers and high-ranking officials throughout the afternoon on Saturday to check if he was okay at the very least, because no one had seen him. And what we were able to find out from the lawyers late on Saturday night is that he is being investigated and likely to be charged with aiding and abetting a whistleblower. At least that's what the lawyers said, investigators told them. And that is reportedly in relation to Section 45 of the Crimes Act, which is to do with the FICAC legislation. And the act is talking about unlawful disclosure of official information. So kind of a secrecy clause, if we can call it that. And so the investigation appears to be centered on some documents that had been released by Charlie earlier that week, around the 18th or the 19th of February. And it had been circulating publicly. People have paid quite a lot of attention to what Charlie reports on his Facebook page about the FICAC. And he's been doing this since the middle of last year to the late of last year. However, Agnes, as I said earlier, there's still no formal charges. There's actually also no formal word from FICAC. Both I and our partners at the Fiji Broadcasting, who have been covering this on the weekend, has made numerous attempts to get the FICAC head, Ms. Lavinia Rokoika, to respond to statements or at least give us some welfare information around Charlie, who, by the way, is a cancer survivor and has heart condition. So far, we've still not received any public information as to what exactly he is meant to have done wrong, Agnes.
Right. So, again, if there's no formal charges, what has Charters and his legal team sort of said about his detention then?
Well, as of last night, we're beginning to see a lot more strong language coming out of Charlie Chartis' team. What they're accusing FICAC of is basically, in the simple terms, abusing the power given to them by the FICAC Act. And they're saying this because while the FICAC investigators have had Charlie in custody, they've offered him multiple times the ability to walk away from detention, to walk away from investigation if he would only just give them the name of his whistleblower. And so far, Charlie has, you know, refused to do that. And what his lawyers are saying is that that is an indication that they don't have even the name of the whistleblower yet, and they don't have, specific charges coming, but are rather using the powers of the FICAC Act to control him, or to coerce him rather, into revealing information about this whistleblower. And they're saying that it is more about, you know, compelling the disclosure of confidential sources as opposed to actually having evidence to charge the whistleblower and therefore charging him with aiding and abetting that. And it's causing quite a widespread condemnation of FICAC, Agnes.
Now, I understand that the Judicial Services Commission, they stepped in on Sunday. Why was that?
Well, see, the Judicial Services Commission is the only body that is mandated by law to hire and fire the head of FICAC, along with several other democratic institutions. And so when this happened to Charlie on Saturday, there was widespread condemnation. The Media Association especially have led a call for Charlie's release and a call for transparency because Charlie, you know, used to work as a journalist here in Fiji when he lived here when he was younger. And a lot of the work that he's been doing since the middle of last year, raising awareness on, you know, the things that are going wrong or the things that are controversial within FICAC, he has been doing in tandem with local media. He's been doing and releasing information to local media. And so the Judicial Services Commission, as of last night, put out a statement to say that they saw the public condemnation, they saw the public call, and that was one of the three reasons they set yesterday. The other two reasons was, of course, to act on a court order from 2 weeks prior as to the lawfulness of the appointment of the woman who currently heads FICAC. Mm. And so as of last night, the JSC has indicated that they have already written a letter making recommendations to the president today as per that court directive. And so over the next couple of hours, we should hopefully see copies of that letter and see this JSC, the Judicial Services Commission, act on both the court order as well as the detention of Charlie Chartis, Agnes.
But Lee, besides all of that, is there anything else or what may be happening next, both for Chartis and for FICAC itself?
Well, look, there are some, you know, there are some strong indications as to what could be in that letter going to the president, and highly likely in my list anyway, is that the Judicial Services Commission, they have very little choice. All they can do really is act on the court order, and the court order is very explicit on the fact that the Prime Minister acted unlawfully when he advised the president to remove Barbara Malimali, who had been recruited to the position under a process, and replaced her with Lavinia Rokoika, the woman who heads FICAC and under whose direction those investigators at FICAC would have detained Charlie Chartis. So it's highly likely that that letter will be calling on the president to action the court order and to remove Lavinia Rokoika. The other thing, though, is that the court order wasn't explicit as to the reinstatement of Barbara Malimali, but it does throw that appointment power back to the JSC, or rather reminds them that that is their prerogative. So that's another thing to look out for. And once Lavinia Rokoika is removed from that position, there will be a vacuum as to who has the legal authority to detain Charlie Chartis. So that'll be another thing that we will see next once the president acts on the court order, is there will have to be a delegation of power power. Somebody else, some other prosecutorial authority will then have to take over Charlie Chatterse's detention. And in Fiji, the only other organization that can do that is, of course, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution. So we should be seeing that happening in the next few hours. But the 48-hour limit does come up at 2:30 local time. So they either have to charge him and produce him in court or let him go a little after lunchtime today, Agnes.
Well, Leather, as always, thank you so much for keeping us across that situation that is happening right there in Fiji. As always, Vinaka Fakalevo.
Vinaka.
That is our reporter in Fiji, Leather Movono.